mighty God. What a holy God. Amen, amen. Welcome once again to the house of the Lord. So delighted that all of you are here. I am thankful that the presence of the Lord is in the place. Hallelujah. If you would, stand with me, please, and directing your attention to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 30, and we have several verses to read. Please bear with me through the duration. Exodus chapter 30. We'll read from verse 22 to verse 33. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and all his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touchest them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. If you would please remain standing, place your Bibles beside you tonight, and let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you so much that we have you tonight. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask now that your anointing would prevail and continue to be in this place with us. I pray now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your Spirit would permeate the darkness, bring down every stronghold, cast down every yoke, destroy, Lord, every stronghold of the enemy. I pray now that you would release your Spirit and your power to heal and to deliver and to set the captive free. I pray now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that every soul that needs the Holy Ghost, every soul that needs a renewing, would respond to the call tonight and be filled with the Holy Ghost and be renewed in the power of your Spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we adore you. In the name of Jesus, we honor you. In the name of Jesus, we welcome you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, amen. One more time, would you clap under the Lord before you see it? We can quickly surmise from the early verses of our text tonight that God is giving Moses the recipe to the holy anointing oil. He is giving Moses a secret. He is giving Moses something that has been concealed through the ages in heaven. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 35 says, "And thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointing, an anointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil." This is quickly setting the situation straight, if you will, as to how it should be respected and how it should be handled, how it should be viewed. And this anointing oil is set apart and it is extremely valuable. This oil would cost in our day anywhere from $489,000, $489,364 to somewhere about $611,000 for 47 pounds. 47 pounds would be somewhere slightly on one side or the other of $500,000. And the Lord speaks to Moses and says, "Build, make this precious anointing. Make this precious oil." And then, so to say, he says, "Don't hoard it up. Don't hide it somewhere. But pour it out in the temple." Then we can quickly learn that it is the will and desire of God that God tells the man, the anointed man, go ahead and use it. It is valuable. It is costly. It is unique. It is not common. But go ahead and use it. "Thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation, Moses. Thou shalt anoint the ark of the testimony, Moses. Moses, thou shalt anoint the table and all his vessels. Moses, anoint the candlestick and all his vessels. Moses, don't forget the altar. Anoint the altar, Moses. The altar of burnt offering with all his vessels. Cover it in the oil. Cover it in the precious anointment." Once this anointing oil was made, it was a representation of something so important that all the pieces of the tabernacle had to be covered in it. Not one piece left out. Not one area of the tabernacle forsaken. But every piece of the furniture, every area had to be touched by the anointing oil. Somebody hear what I'm saying tonight. I'm preaching a simple message entitled, "The Anointing." Would you bump your neighbor and say, "The Anointing"? Would you touch somebody else and say, "Pardon me, excuse me, but we're going to learn about the anointing tonight"? Oh, would you go ahead and help me preach for the next few minutes? We, as one God, apostolic, tongue-talking individuals, it's time for the church of 2015 to get back to the anointing of God. Can somebody help me tonight? It is time for us to put a high price on the anointing of the Lord. It's time for us to put our eyes back on the anointing of the Lord. It's time for us, come on now, it's time for us to get involved and handle the anointing of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Could somebody clap your hands once again? The altar of burnt offerings with all his vessels. The laver and his foot had to be anointed. Once this anointing oil was made, it was a representation of something so important that all the pieces of the tabernacle had to be covered in it. Then God gets to the men that would be using this anointing oil, and they had to be anointed with this oil. The oil had to be on the people that would operate the tabernacle. And the oil had to be up on every piece of the tabernacle. It had to be a consistent flow of the oil. This was so powerful that whatever it would touch, that whatever got touched by it was considered to be holy. This is to never be put on anyone that is a stranger to God. In other words, you don't sling it around. If they're not looking for me, if they're not longing for me, if they're not hungry for me, then they ought to never come in contact with this that is so precious. We're getting there. Bear with me. God was saying, Moses, you don't just sling it everywhere. This has a certain place. This is put on certain people. And this is put on certain things. It's not to be put everywhere. And you don't fabricate it anytime you want to. I'm the one that releases the recipe. And I'm the one that tells you when to make it. 47 pounds. Nearly $500,000. God begins to give Moses the recipe. Moses anoints the temple. Moses anoints the men of God. Please be sure to understand that this Old Testament anointing is a physical form of oil that represents the spiritual power that we have in the New Testament. On a Sunday night, I'm pausing to just move a little bit slow for a moment. But we must understand that what we have in the Holy Ghost, what we have in the book of Acts, what we have in Acts 2:38, is not some little something that come lately. But what we have in the power of the Holy Ghost, what we have in the divine anointing that reigns from heaven, what we have that God uses and gives to us in another tongue that He gives the utterance. What we have in the power of the Holy Ghost is something that is unusual. It is something that is unique. And it's something that only He can give to us. It's not something common. And it's not something frivolous. It's not something we can conjure up. It's not something we can manufacture on our own. But we have to be anointed by the power of the Most High God. We must understand that all through the Old Testament, God was working up to this point. He was working up to this pinnacle. He was working up this high place where He would anoint mankind with an anointing that would break the yoke. Where He would anoint humanity with a power that was greater than any sin and any spirit of darkness. This oil that Moses is making and must put on every thing in the temple and every priest that will minister in the tabernacle is the Old Testament type of the New Testament Holy Ghost. There's no disconnection somewhere. I said there's no John come lately somewhere. But when God was giving Moses the recipe, He was already looking way down the road, knowing that one day a representation, if you will, or the real genuine, I should say, the real genuine article of the oil that Moses is making, it's going to rain down from heaven in a very dark day, in a very wicked day. The power is going to rain down into the upper room. Oh, somebody somewhere hear what I'm trying to say tonight. It's time for a people who is called by His name. It's time for a people who are born again of the water and of the Spirit to realize that we're not disjointed and we're not separated, but we are connected all the way down the line. Could somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? The tragedy of our day is that many have lost their respect and their endearment for the power of the Holy Ghost. But I've come to tell you that even though some have walked away, even though some have chose to manufacture and concoct their own thing, it just doesn't matter what they have chosen to do. Here in 2015, there is still the genuine article is alive and well. If you want the real thing, you can still have the real thing.
If you still want the same power that they got in the book of Acts, you can still have that same power. If you still desire that same deliverance, you can still have that same deliverance. Can somebody bless the name of the Lord tonight? Through worldliness and the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, so many have lost their desire. Worldliness has quenched the fire, quenched the passion. So many have lost their desire and their sense of urgency, if you will, for the power of the Holy Ghost to be flowing upon their lives. But I thank God, some 25 years ago, that in Natchitoches, Louisiana, I was able to set everything aside. I was able to forget about everything the world had to offer. I was able to forget about every stronghold and every yoke and every spirit of darkness that had played for me. In that altar in Natchitoches, Louisiana, I got a hold of something that would take control of my life and I would never be the same again. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, and to all of our guests tonight, I've come to tell you that I am a testimony and I am a witness that there is something in the power of the anointing that's greater than anything that hell has to offer. There's something in the power of the Holy Ghost that is greater than sin and addiction and every spirit of darkness. Can somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? This anointing that I'm talking about has within it a sanctioning power. This anointing that I'm talking about has within it a sanctioning power that suggests that we have been with the King. This power that comes with the anointing has the power to bring a refreshing upon your life again. This anointing that I am talking about tonight has the power to revive one soul. This anointing that I am talking about tonight has the power to wash your sins away. This anointing that I am talking about tonight has the power to come upon a sinful man or a sinful woman and wash away their sin. Oh, Mount Pisgah, I'm going slow to build this foundation, but on a Sunday night, I've come to tell you that it's time for us to get back to the anointing. It's time for us to put a premium upon the anointing of God. Sin has killed and robbed this anointing. Sin has come in like an enemy, like a bandit. And because he ignited a desire for the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the anointing has drifted away. So many of us have accepted formalities of religion and called it anointing. So many of us has pulled in various things to be a substitute for what God says. There is no substitute. Nobody is supposed to concoct their own. Nobody is supposed to put it wherever they want it to go. But everybody is supposed to have the real, genuine deal. Hope we're understanding what I'm trying to say. Sin has killed. Sin has robbed. But this anointing that I am preaching about tonight is greater than any sin. This anointing that I am talking about is greater than any spirit of darkness. This anointing that I am talking about is more wonderful, more awesome, and more powerful than any mistake you've ever made in your life. This anointing that I'm talking about was designed for a people. This anointing that I am talking about was tailor-made and designed for a people that had made a mistake. They had ate a forbidden fruit. And the devil and all of his demons were rejoicing because they thought that they had cut off mankind from ever being what they were called to be in the presence of God. Hell and all of his demons said, "We have defiled God's creation. We have defiled his people. We have cut them off from ever being able to come into his presence again. They'll never be able to walk in his holy presence. They'll never know the heights that we once had. They'll never make it to that holy city." Hell doesn't love you and I. Hell doesn't care about us. The enemy will come courting you with the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He'll try to buddy up real big and real tight, but he is out to steal and to kill and to destroy your future and your hope. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church, I'm trying to get a message across. It's time for us to be wise. And it's time for us to realize what we're dealing with. The enemy is trying to set us up for a fall. The enemy's trying to set us up for destruction. The enemy's trying to cut us off from the power that can save us. But on this Sunday night, in the next few minutes, I'm going to try somehow, some way, under the sound or the presence of God, rather, to get a message across to this great people. We must understand and we must realize that we are in this thing and the stakes are high. It's not time to play. It's not time to wander. It's not time to look anywhere else. But it's time to get down where the rubber meets the road. And it's time to say, you know what? Devil, what you meant to destroy me with, my God is going to take it and turn it around. I want you to understand that what Satan was trying to do to cut us off, this anointing, this only anointing, not something somebody fabricated, but the anointing, the very recipe that God gave to Moses. That anointing, that powerful anointing is the only thing that can restore us again. That powerful anointing is the only thing that can bring us back into the presence of God. That powerful anointing is the only thing that can restore our relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not a formality of humanity. It's not some kind of man-made religion. Not some man-made tradition. But the anointing of God. It's a precious anointing. We cannot minister without it. We need the anointing of God every day. Moses needed it in his day. The business of the temple is no different. We need the anointing present in our temple at all times. We need the anointing right here, church, in the morning. We need the anointing of God right here in the noontime. We need the anointing of God right here in the evening time. Time is precious. I've already been 20 minutes into this thing. But I want you to realize, church, that we cannot be caught without the anointing. We are the people. We are the people who have, that have been called to handle the anointing of God. We are the apothecaries in the New Testament church. We are the ones that have been chosen and ordained of God to handle it. Ah! Hell will come and say, "Give me that," and he'll leave you with depression. Hell will come and he'll say, "Give me that anointing," and he'll leave you with doubt and unbelief. Hell will come and he'll say, "Give me that anointing," and he'll leave you with offenses and bitterness. Hell will come and say, "Give me that anointing," and he'll leave you with sin. Oh, but it's somebody. It's time for the Pentecostal church. It is time for the one God people to say, "No, this anointing is not for sale. There will be no swap made here." Oh, can somebody help me preach tonight? Oh, I need somebody that's got some grit. I need somebody that says, "I know where you're at." Proverbs 23 and 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. We're not going to make it any other way, church. We're not going to make it any other way. There is no other gospel. There is no other message. There is no other anointing. There are people that's concocting stuff everywhere, but that's not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get your soul saved. It's not going to get you called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. The Old Testament sets the backdrop for this marvelous New Testament experience. Fire, water, and oil were all types pointing to the Acts 2:38 experience. I cannot put enough importance on this Old Testament ceremony that we just read, because it directly connects to our New Testament salvation. In the Old Testament setting, the oil was made from the finest components. It was expensive. It was made from sources of superiority. The sweetest essence, profound qualities. And this anointing oil was supremely expensive. This Old Testament substance represented our New Testament Jesus. I said this Old Testament substance represented our New Testament Jesus. We can never afford to be without Jesus. Don't ever let this world concoct some kind of messed up idea in your head that we can have the anointing without Jesus. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church will never have the anointing without Jesus Christ. We need Jesus every morning. We need Jesus every day. We need Jesus every night. We need the anointing of God. I've told you the story, and I won't go into details, but in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the Lord says, "Go and raise that woman up from the dead." You know the story. I've told it to you. I didn't want to go, but finally I walked out there. I kind of tried to get permission with the paramedics, and all that didn't go very well, because the world has their method. But the world's method will never work when God is saying, "Only mine, only mine." mine is the one that you can use. When they done all they can do, they started the body bag process. They were on the phone, given the time and all the whole deal with it. And then I knelt down and laid hands on that woman's head. And while they were pronouncing her dead, while they couldn't find nothing with her, they were down there in her, putting stuff in her legs. I don't know what all was happening there, but I had my hands on her head, and all I knew to say was, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Their end was dead, but my end began to repeat after me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Where would that lady be today if there wasn't somebody there with the anointing of God? She come up from there and she began to rejoice and run. They couldn't catch her. A while ago they had all the answers. But when the anointing got involved, they didn't know how to handle that. She was dead. Now she's alive. She's kicking that bag. She's jumping up. She's screaming in their face, in Jesus' name! That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we gotta have. That's what we gotta have. They said, what do we do now? I said, you catch her. A while ago, they had all the answers. But when the anointing gets involved, the world doesn't know what to do with the anointing. They brought her to me. I laid hands on her. And God filled that woman with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My niece, about 3 years old. Was she three? About three? She was two. Didn't know what was wrong with her. Limp. I've told you that story. Brought her to the emergency room. They didn't know what was wrong with her. Couldn't find anything. I walked in the room. There she was, lifeless. Horrible complexion. We all got together and we laid hands. In the name of Jesus. And there was that faithful anointing. In the name of Jesus. And there was that faithful power. In the name of Jesus. And there was that faithful presence. That same presence that called me out of darkness into the marvelous light. In the name of Jesus! And there it was. There he was! There's no price for that. There's no price for that. And suddenly, as we laid hands and prayed for that baby, she began to dance in the bed, climb up her mother, run around and around her mother, totally alive, totally well. And here they come running through the door. We know what's wrong. And then suddenly they looked. And she's climbing all over the mother. Now they believe something else is wrong. Because people who have been bit by rattlesnakes don't do that. But the power of the anointing of God had reversed it and turned it all around. Oh, come on, Mount Pisgah. We've all been bitten by the serpent. We've all been bitten by the spirit of darkness. We've all been infected and poisoned by hell. But somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice, you need Jesus. You need the anointing to turn your life around. You need Jesus to bring you out of that darkness and to bring you out of sin. It took a pure, separated, holy life. That anointing that Moses handled was so beautiful, so wonderful, so new, so unique, and so separated, so uncommon, that God began to look, how am I going to match it? How am I going to match it? And suddenly, the New Testament reveals, and all the knowledge that we have from the New Testament, God robed Himself in flesh. How am I going to make an equivalent to that stuff that Moses handled in the tabernacle? How am I going to make equivalent to that anointing that all of the furniture was anointed with? Oh, I will robe myself in flesh. The Old Testament substance represented our New Testament Jesus. The holy anointing oil in the New Testament is the precious, expensive, beautiful, thrilling baptism and infilling of the Holy Ghost. It took a pure, separated, holy life hanging on the cross of Calvary to bring it to you and me. Just so Jesus could say these words that we read in John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. It took God robing Himself in flesh and hanging on Golgotha's hill just so that these words can be true. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Mount Pisgah, this anointing must be in our temple. It must be in our heart. This anointing that I am talking about will give you power. In Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This anointing will put fire in your soul. In Matthew 3 and 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This anointing that I am talking about will give you perpetual, if you will, perpetual peace. This anointing will make you a rapture ready. This anointing will put you in the kingdom of God for eternity. This anointing will seal you and bring acceptance to you from Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1 and 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This anointing breaks the bonds of depression and fear. In Romans 8 and 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, can somebody understand what we are talking about tonight? I'm talking about the anointing. It's time for the one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking people to get back to the anointing. It's time for us to handle it before breakfast. It's time for us to handle it after breakfast. It's time for us to handle it from sun up to sundown and all through the night. Amen. This anointing destroys the yoke. In Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Coming to a close right now. Some in this building are yoked to sin. Some are yoked to sickness. Some are yoked to depression. Some are yoked to the cares of this life. Some are yoked to the deceitfulness of riches. Some are yoked to the demonic oppression. Some is yoked to demonic possession. And some are yoked to powerless religion. Some are yoked to the lust of the eye. And some are yoked to the pride of life. And some are yoked to miscellaneous situations that keep you so distracted that you can never truly tap in to what God has given to the church. In 2015, as I come to a close, it's time for us to realize, it's time for us to come to the understanding that we are the church and we are the people that God expects to handle the anointing. It's been quiet and it's been a little dead tonight. But I want you to understand that there is no other way we can get happy clappy to a few songs and feel saved. We can get happy clappy to a few testimonies and feel saved. We can get happy clappy with a few religious things and feel all right. But there is nothing, there is nothing, there is nothing that's going to take the place of the anointing of God. Nothing is going to set you free like the anointing of God. Nothing is going to heal your body like the anointing of God. Nothing is going to save your soul but the anointing of God. Nothing is going to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light but the anointing of God. Sin is only for a season that is going to pass. It's going to leave you stranded, powerless, without the anointing. There is no way, church. There is no way to make it. There is no way to be saved. There is no way to be delivered. There is no way to have the power of God in your life without the anointing. It's time for us to come to that place and say, Lord, consecrate me. Lord, reel me back in. God, take the worldliness off of me. Take the things that defile my mind off. Take the things that hinder me from being used in the temple. Take it off of my mind. Take it out of my heart. Set me free, God. When they looked the day of Pentecost into the upper room, they heard a man preach with the anointing of God on his life. Suddenly it wasn't funny anymore. Suddenly it wasn't anything to mock. Suddenly it wasn't anything to protest. Suddenly they said, what shall I do? What shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In this building tonight, in this sovereign presence of the Lord, there's nothing else to do but to come out of your darkness into His marvelous light. In this tabernacle tonight, in this sovereign presence of the Lord, there's nothing else to do but to step out of your pew and to come down to the altar and surrender everything. Surrender your sickness. Surrender your doubt. Surrender your darkness. Surrender your hopelessness. Surrender everything that's cheating you out of the anointing. Surrender it all to God. Say, Lord, I give it to you tonight.